Hello, everyone. This is M.R. Rangaswamy with Indiaspora Radio. Today, we're joined by Sean Jayachandran. Sean is the founder of a nonprofit. He's an educator with a passion for science, sports, and leadership, and diversity, and character education. His nonprofit is called Crossover Basketball, and we'll be talking about that quite a bit during the show. But Sean also is a teacher. He leverages values of leadership, character, teamwork, and communication. He is also an administrator and a coach. He's done a variety of things, as we'll find out from our interview today, and all-around good guy. Please welcome Sean.
Thank you, MR. It's great to be on the show.
Super. So, Sean, tell us a little bit about your early years. Where'd you grow up, and what were you doing in those old days?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, so on the western side next to the Rockies. My parents had just immigrated 2 years and 1 year before I was born, and they were married there. So I grew up in Calgary. I actually attended French immersion elementary schools before transitioning back to English medium schools in junior high. And at the age of 16, I actually moved to the U.S. into the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area, where I finished high school, completing the International Baccalaureate program before attending college.
Fantastic. So you've lost that Canadian accent now.
Yes, it rarely comes out, usually around a whole gaggle of Canadians who are watching hockey, perhaps.
Right, right. So you grew up in the United States, and your family, they immigrated from India, or?
Yes. Okay. They both immigrated from Chennai. The late 70s.
Great. My hometown, so that's good to know. And so then you go to college in the Washington area, and you get a degree in chemistry, and then you get a master's in educational leadership. So how did you get a degree in chemistry, and now you're like coaching basketball? How did that happen?
Sure. So basketball really became a passion of mine somewhere in junior high, and I really connected with it more in high school. And it was always a fun thing and something that I could do. But as most Indian parents would tell you, I heard quite often, sports will not put food on the table. I went to college majoring in chemistry. I'm fascinated by the way chemical interactions work, and I think it's a lot of fun. And with the idea of being pre-med with that. After I finished my degree and after I was going on, I decided I didn't want to jump right into going to medical school right away after college. And so I'd heard about the opportunities of teaching at private schools, and so I had applied to a few, and I was fortunate to get an intern-type position at George School outside of Philadelphia. And I thought it would be a 1 or 2 year stint, but the longer I was staying in it and I got to be around the students, I realized that it was really where I was meant to be. I got to work with them in the sciences, but I really got to connect with them as people and as a mentor, and helping these young, motivated kids find pathways and passions in their life, and also help them wrestle with a lot of the varying ethical questions that come up in the teen years. And so after I started teaching for a few years, then it became evident that if I wanted to pursue this more seriously, that it would be important to go get a master's degree and to learn a lot more philosophy that goes behind education. And so after years of hearing my parents ask, you know, is this the year you're going to medical school? I think my parents finally understood, and they finally came to see the value of me working in secondary education and where I was able to impact my students.
Wow. So that must have been quite, you know, most of our parents ask us the question, do you want to be a doctor or an engineer or a scientist, right? So
right.
This was a pretty different career path for you. That's fantastic. And you dealt with those challenges like many of us have as well. how did that translate then into the sports part of it? You were teaching, you know, in a high school. I guess you were teaching science and other subjects as well, right? I assume. And then,
yep.
How did the sports part come into your life?
Sure. So teaching in independent schools, most schools will require that you participate or coach 2 to 3 extracurricular activities a year. It's just part of your everybody's contract. And it's a way for us to interact with students beyond the classroom. You know, there are times where we may not be able to connect with a kid in class, but sometimes you get them on the athletic field or you get them on in the theater room and you see a whole different side to a child and you're able to connect with them. So that's the philosophy behind that. I played sports religiously growing up, and so when I had the opportunity and with my experiences, the schools immediately had me coaching both varsity football and varsity basketball. But my passion really was in basketball. And to me, basketball and coaching is really almost like a mental chess game. It's putting your students in the best position to succeed and at the same time having a mind chess match against the opposing coach. And so it really, if you wanted to really engage your critical thinking, to engage your analytical mind and how to find the next part. And I was very fortunate that I had a phenomenal high school coach, a man named Bill Sweet, who himself had played for the legendary coach John Wooden at UCLA. And Coach Sweet had won 3 NCAA championships there. And everything that he had really pushed on me in my 11th and 12th grade years, I was able to then build on, research more, and continue to carry on in how I coach and how I interact with my kids.
And I know in basketball and in coaching, there are different methods to coach. I know a lot of people follow, you know, John Wooden, the legend at UCLA. There's also another Dreisel method, you know, in your coaching of basketball. What are the differences, and why would you choose one versus the other, or can you do both?
Sure, that's a phenomenal question. I've truly been blessed in the fact that I had Coach Sweet, who allowed me to have a direct descendant from Coach Wooden's coaching tree or philosophy and to have firsthand experience and not just from a book. And the same comes true with from Coach Drizel, Lefty Drizel, legendary at University of Maryland. And they're two almost contrasting styles. Coach Wooden's philosophy really is about mentoring and connecting with the students. The saying goes that he never spoke about winning or losing a game, but about performing your best, that success comes from measuring against yourself. Have you done everything you can do with the ability and talent you can do? And it's a man who ended up winning 10 national championships in a span of 12 years. Remarkably, again, while never speaking about winning or losing, Coach Drizel, on the other hand, my second year coaching, I was very fortunate that where I was working, I got to coach under Lefty Drizel's son, Chuck. And Chuck Drizel has been a phenomenal mentor to me as well. And that philosophy is much more high-paced and high-tempo about being part of the modern youth movement, about engaging with the fashion and the quote-unquote cool factors that go with basketball and connecting with your players that way. So finding a balance between both has been a big part of what I do, because there are merits to both. And I think you can have the fun and the cool and the swag that goes with the Drizel style while also matching the expectations of character and perseverance and expectations of the Wooden method. And both of those, I think, lend you to connecting with your students. And at the end of the day, Coach Drizel's methods have really lent a lot of knowledge to me in not just in basketball, but in how to keep my pulse on what's trending and what's cool in the world, while Coach Wooden's philosophy has always kept me grounded and is probably the basis of why I still stay in touch with so many of my former players, even a decade after I've coached them.
So what is the most important aspect of coaching to you?
I think the most important aspect of coaching in is what a lot of us look for, which is mentoring. I think the ability to be a teacher, a role model, it's another vehicle or platform to connect with young men, young minds, and take away the fact that there is winning and losing, but start to go into the more philosophical parts of it's the details that matter, it's the little things that will lead to the big things. It's about practicing how you want to play. It's about holding yourself accountable. And those are such important pieces in every person's daily life and who we become as men and women in culture and in the world. But if we don't set up by teaching it the right way or using a vehicle to connect with these young men and women, then we may lose them in trying to take shortcuts or just worry about the end result and not the process itself.
Oh, that's great. So I think mentoring and shaping young kids are really the most critical parts of your style. So how do you measure yourself? How do you benchmark yourself to know if you're successful or not?
That's a great question. It's something I think I come back to and think about a lot. At the end of the day, the benchmarks for me are the caliber and the quality of the young men and the young women that I teach and the young men that I coach and teach. Are they turning out to be good citizens, good character people in the world? Are they impacting the world in a way that I would be proud of and proud to say that they are, that they were my students? So the benchmarks I'm always trying to set is how to do this better, how to push them to do more, how to engage their minds, how to think about social impact. And so for me, the benchmarks are, I'll take a term from my friend Kevin Sutton, who coached at Georgetown, and he talks about living trophies, and that all of these students and these players that we coach turn out to be our living trophies. And are we proud of those trophies that we put up on the mantle, or are we trying to hide them away? And I think those are that's the number one benchmark for me, is to be proud of these living trophies that that are coming through my teaching and my mentoring.
Fantastic, fantastic. So don't go away, folks. We'll take a short break and come back and talk to Sean about his nonprofit. Hello, everyone. This is M.R. Rangaswamy with Indiaspora Radio. We're back with Sean Jayachandran. Sean, so you started a nonprofit called Crossover Academy. Can you take us through why you started it, when you started it, and how it's doing so far?
Sure. So Crossover Academy, really quickly, is a nonprofit that's looking to impact education rates in India, and we're using the sport of basketball as our vehicle of change. And so we're engaging kids in a sport and using play as a way to teach them and then how to translate those skills back into the classroom. I started it because, quite honestly, I was looking at a lot of different crossroads going on in the world at the time. I was watching the NBA expanding into India, and the NBA is a marketing mastermind and a genius of an organization, and they are very much trying to find the next Michael Jordan or Yao Ming or Dikembe Mutombo, but someone to put a face to India and for the fans in India. For me, when I was looking at it, basketball and sports have always been so connected with academics, especially here in the U.S. where we have such great schools like Duke and Notre Dame and University of Michigan, et cetera, who have such great athletic programs as well. And then the second part for me was trying to find a way as an Indian American, an Indian Canadian, to connect back to a culture that I'm born a part of, but it was trying to find my way to find independently. So when I was trying to piece it together, I was reflecting on the fact that my mom was born and raised in a Catholic orphanage in Chennai, and somebody had scholarshiped and left her the opportunity. That thought kept coming back to my mind of, if somebody hadn't done that for her, I would not be the person I am today. And so in thinking of how to almost repay that debt back to Chennai and to India, I came up with the idea of Crossover Academy, of finding a way to connect the idea of play, of academics, and of character, and allowing a lot of students in India who may not have a chance or may not see the value in staying in school or may not have the choice necessarily at first, and finding a way for them to find their voice and find their person and push them. Especially, India has a lot of staff that are out there, and some of the more, as much as India has grown economically, and I don't think anyone will doubt that, the numbers that stood out for me is that 60% of students will drop out before high school, and only 9% end up graduating high school, which is a very tough number to swallow when India is so interconnected with education, is how we all think of it. So Crossover Academy came from the fueling and the combination of all those ideas and wanting to see if the theory I had in my head could actually impact the lives of children on the other side of the world.
And tell me what the program entails. You go over to Chennai with some staff from the U.S., some volunteers from the U.S. Just describe what the program looks like in India.
Sure. So we're still in our first phase of the program, which we call Hoops Creating Hope. And that entails a group of volunteers. We're up to 18 U.S. volunteers going over this year. That includes some high school students, a lot of college student athletes, and then some adults as well. And we, as all volunteers, we go over, we look at India's education system from multiple vantage points. We do classroom visits. We're interacting in society. We're really trying to take in the culture. And at the same time, for 10 days, we work with students after their school day. So we invite the students and their teachers to be part of our program. We're partnered with the American International School in Chennai. And so we have this wonderful facility and grounds to use. And we work with the kids for about 3.5 to 4 hours after school. So we'll have some snacks and some food for them and of course, plenty of water. But they'll go through 4 stations every day, every student, 2 of which will be basketball-related, 1 of which will be either yoga or physical conditioning-related, and the last one is always a classroom session. Each student will every day be in a classroom with our volunteers and able to talk about the ideas of leadership, teamwork, character, and communication. And we usually will highlight one each day and we'll come back thematically to these and speak to the students and how are they being leaders in their classroom? How are they exemplifying teamwork within their classroom? How are they communicating with their teacher, with their families, with themselves even? And we use that as a self-reflection method and as a way to connect these big pillars back into the classroom and see the academic structure so the students start to understand the bigger picture rather than just the everyday, I go to school, I come home, but that there's a lot more to the world and that we want them to be a part of it.
Well, it's great. Also, I think it's inspirational that there's some people in basketball in the United States who are now of Indian origin, like Bular at the Sacramento Kings. And I think also you have someone in Maryland who made it to the NCAA championship this year who had an amazing play towards the end of the game.
Yeah, you're right. We actually will have 5 Indian-American NCAA college basketball players this year going with us. The highlighted one is Varun Ram. Definitely stole the show this summer, spring, where he got in for the last 13 seconds of the game. It exemplifies everything that I think Crossover speaks about, in that he was ready when his opportunity came, and he made the game-saving steal to stop the other team from hitting the game-winning shot. And then along with Varun, we have a young woman named Shilpa Tumala, who's at Harvard, her brother Sai Tumala, who's at Arizona State, A.J. Matthew, who just graduated from Chaminade, and Kieran Shastri, who also is at Chaminade.
That is so good that you're taking, some of these heroes from the United States back to India as well. So I know you've also kind of tried to inspire others, Sean, as you go along your journey. And you've done a TEDx talk. What was that like?
For a lot of the great opportunities I've had in life, that was one of the more nerve-wracking moments I think I've ever had. Because it was a platform to actually speak about a program that's so passionate and so touching and close to my heart. Speaking at a TEDx event was amazing. I mean, you have a crowd literally feet away from you. And while I speak daily to my students in front of a classroom, this was such a different experience because there are hundreds of people in front of you and thousands upon thousands of people who are going to witness this online. And so it was nervous. It was a very nervous moment, but at the same time, it's very inspiring to know that the idea and the theory of crossover come to the point where impacting students through hope and not just tablets and technology, but actually just the idea of hope carried such weight that people wanted to hear more about it and wanted me to be presenting at a TEDx event.
Great. I've seen this talk. Very inspiring. I'd encourage all our listeners to take a look at it as well. Also, I know, Sean, that you were recently a guest at the Philadelphia 76ers game for Indian Heritage Night. What is that all about? How's the NBA trying to reach out to our community?
The Philadelphia 76ers are the third team to really host an Indian American Night. The Sacramento Kings have clearly been doing this, the Orlando Magic as well. But what was very unique about the 76ers, and I'm really proud of them for this, is they were led by a man named Priya Roy, who lives in the New York, New Jersey area, who's really inspired about connecting the NBA with Indian Americans. And what this did was the 76ers really went beyond just the Bollywood dancing and went beyond just here's the showcase, but actually highlighted Indian Americans who are making impacts in the Philadelphia community. And I guess some people like myself who are from outside the Philadelphia area, but who are trying to make an impact and connect the Indian American community more with the American community as a whole. And I think that is a huge, huge part of the next movement and how Indian Americans are part of the NBA and part of mainstream sports. And that it isn't just about the song and dance, but that there are members of the community who are vital to each of these cities around the U.S. and that they're playing a major role. And the 76ers have already committed to having another Indian American night coming up in during the next season. And it was pretty amazing. And it was amazing to witness the non-Indian Americans there who were able to connect more with the culture and more with the long-term effect of how this plays out, that it wasn't just, it wasn't just Bollywood movies, but that it had a huge cultural aspect. And as a point I need to point out is also that they actually even brought up the exhibit from the Smithsonian, the Beyond Bollywood exhibit, and had that on display in the stadium as well. Again, giving non-Indian Americans a chance to understand the pride in our culture and the pride in the impact we've had in America.
Fantastic, fantastic program. So, Sean, changing tracks, let me ask you some personal questions. What do you do in your spare time, if you have any?
My spare time, I think, is often spent reading. I'm a news junkie. I love pulling up articles, trying to find articles. Clearly, family time is very important to me as well. And then trying to catch up and stay in touch with the college basketball world. But reading really is a huge part for me because there's such a constant flow of information in the world now, and there's so much to learn from others. And I'm not one to ever assume that I know the most about anything. And so there's always ideas and people that I want to learn from. And so that's usually what I'm doing with my spare time.
Super. So, Sean, tell us one thing people don't know about you.
So I asked this to my students, and they were joking around today, but the number one answer they came up with is that I like to wear really fun socks, and that my students love this about it, that they can wear funky socks around me, and that I'm at a school where we're in a blazer and tie every day, and so socks is a place where you get to kind of have some personal expression. But apart from that, something to know about me is I think I was raised just like most Indian American kids, and I'm super excited about my parents' impact on my life, the fact that they always challenged me to be better, but at the same time found ways to connect me back to being this dual culture. So while I was taking piano lessons and doing extra math problems, at the same time my parents were letting me play sports and having me find ways of being Canadian and having pride in being Canadian and being Indian and finding different pieces. So I think that's the thing to know about me.
Thank you so much, Sean. It's been a pleasure. And we will reconnect with you soon.
Thank you so much. I love what you guys are doing. So.
Thank you. In Diaspora Radio is produced by Monica Patel. The theme music is by our very own Rina Ismail. The interlude music is by Jahan Shah. So long, everyone.